Finding a cure for Alzheimer's disease may be a long way off. Finding an intervention drug for patients with a mild form of the disease, well, that may be closer to home. The 3-year worldwide Daybreak study is funded by pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly and Company, and it's looking for participants, including for the clinical trials at a Hawaii Research Center. Dr. Corey Liao is the director of the Hawaii Pacific Neuroscience Institute, and he's in our studio with us now. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
People hear Alzheimer's and become rightly afraid because we've seen so much of what happens when it occurs and what families have to go through with it. And then there are those drugs that keep being advertised and things that might mitigate or somehow slow the disease. But where are we exactly with research? How do you give people, if you will, a reality check of what we know research-wise now?
That's a great question, Pat. All the drugs that we have right now are what we call symptomatic treatment, meaning that it just mainly try to improve things. It doesn't really address what's the underlying cause, what's really causing the Alzheimer's. What we're really getting excited about, some of the new studies, the new research that's happening right now, is that some of the research actually address the underlying cause, which is the buildup of the abnormal proteins in the brain. And we are trying to get the patients as well that are suitable candidates because we know that the longer that we wait, the more difficult it is to reverse some of the process.
The plaque that you talk about, the proteins that build up in the brain, it seems from what we're hearing now is that the attention is going to how do you now mitigate that as opposed to deal with some of the symptomatic issues. And that's what this study, as well as others that will be going on around the world, is set to address with this particular drug from Eli Lilly.
That's correct. But what we realize now, by the time the patient develop memory loss or mild symptoms of Alzheimer's, you know, they probably had the plaque or the abnormal proteins build up in the brain for years, as long as 10 to 20 years. So a lot of the drugs that we are giving our patients, a lot of the approved drugs, have done very little to slow the progression. The driving force, or what I see as the future of research in this field, is to really get to our patients earlier. You know, that means sometimes even before they develop memory loss. So the question is, if I don't have memory loss, why would I want to? How would I know? So some of the newer studies that we are really testing, including this current studies that we're testing, is we're looking for genetic markers. So we're looking for patients who are at high risk, and also patients who have proven by their spinal fluid where we don't have a good biomarkers yet, but the spinal fluid is one of the best biomarkers. We are drawing spinal fluid. We're testing for abnormal proteins and patients who are clearly at the very early stages of developing or on track to develop Alzheimer's. We're interested in speaking with them because we are really concentrating in seeing address some of the underlying cause.
Dr. Liao, as you look, though, at what you know, people may take away from this, very clearly there isn't some sort of test that you can see whether you are predisposed for Alzheimer's now. I mean, you don't want to give anybody false hope about that.
That's correct. So unlike other disease like a prostate cancer, you have a PSA, ovarian cancer, colon cancer, you have very clear what we call biomarkers. Alzheimer's, we're not there yet. We're working very hard. The researchers are working very hard to try to identify some markers. The two main things that are on the forefront is, number one, is looking at the abnormal proteins on PET scan, what we call flow beta via PET, for amyloid buildup in the PET scans. The second one is looking at abnormal proteins, the amyloid and the phosphorylated tau in the spinal fluid. So unfortunately, it's still an invasive test. We have to do a spinal tap with our patients to run for that. But those are the two most promising. But again, it's not a perfect technique yet.
as the Daybreak study is just now looking for participants, we have a long way to go for the study to be able to conclude itself. And in 3 years or so, we'll probably have more about that. But meanwhile, that's still time going by for people where they may be nervous or concerned, which goes back to lifestyle. What do you do? What can you do in the short term, in the interim, just in general, to be able to potentially head off your chances, even if you have particular markers?
Excellent questions. So as we don't have a cure, we don't have a definitive treatment yet. So the best thing that we can really do, if you have a family members with family history of Alzheimer's, or perhaps even at early stages, you know, we have a lot of studies, a lot of evidence to suggest that lifestyle could play a role as well. For example, there is a study that shows that regular exercise, especially aerobic exercise, could slow the progression of the memory loss in Alzheimer's patient. You know, and eating healthy, you know, and reducing processed food, you know.
And then very lately, though, we've seen that there was a study that linked greater consumption of sugar with a propensity to develop Alzheimer's, or at least being a potential cause or part of the cause?
Well, what we really know, Beth, is that whatever is going to be bad for the heart is going to be bad for the brain as well. So there's a very close relationship. So the fatty foods, the sugary food, you know, that clog up the arteries in the heart, you know, it's also going to clog up the arteries in the brain, you know. So we realize that.
No more plate lunch.
No more loco moco for me.
Okay, so beyond that then, where do we take this as, you know, lifestyle changes that people can make to be able to take care of heart and brain? Where do we go from here?
Well, a couple of things that are important. Number one is regular exercise. You know, I always tell my patients, try to do at least 3 times a week. Even if it's 10 minutes, go for a walk. You know, the second thing is I ask my patients to reduce their intake of meat, especially fatty food, you know, reduce the intake of processed food, you know. And also the third thing is if they are consuming alcohol, anything more than one glass of wine or beer is considered excessive. You know, and obviously if they're smoking, you know, to stop smoking, you know. And the other thing that I do want to bring up is dealing with some of the agitation in Alzheimer's patient, which are important as well, is
when you talk about agitation, forgive me for interrupting you, you're talking about a patient that already has Alzheimer's and what family members may be observing in this person who may have a completely changed personality and become very upset at things that never got them upset before, or sundowning other things that may happen at different times.
Right. And one of the difficulties being a neurologist caring for patients with this condition is the family bringing their mom or dad or uncle, auntie with Alzheimer's coming in a crisis mode because, you know, auntie is just, you know, freaking out, you know, and just not herself and belligerent, you know, being rude to the grandchildren, being danger. So one of the things that I wanted to advise my patients is always, you know, besides the lifestyle changes, and the family members can also make some lifestyle changes. You know, for example, learn not to argue with their loved ones with Alzheimer's. You know, you can't really try to reason with them. Just go along with it. That's the one. And then the second thing is, a lot of times some of this agitation are triggered by having a stranger in the house, you know, having a new gardener, you know, anything that's new or strange would tend to trigger this agitation.
Or a new caregiver.
Exactly.
All right, so be mindful of that. We have to wrap this up. Anything in particular that you want to make sure that you say, because you got about 10 seconds?
I do want to let them know that if they don't respond to this lifestyle changers, we do have also a study that addressed the agitation in Alzheimer's patient. So we have two great studies that we are on the forefront. So thank you so much for having me here.
Well, thank you, and good luck to you as both of these studies are now beginning. Dr. Corey Liao is the director of the Hawaii Pacific Neuroscience Institute and clinical professor of neurology at the University of Hawaii John Burns School of Medicine. To find out more about participating in either of the studies, you can check our Facebook page. That's the Conversation-Hawaii Public Radio.